That's working. We're going in 3, 2, 1.
Finally found the most generic live show. This is the generic live show with Dale Campbell.
Hello everyone, welcome back to the generic live show. This is GLS episode number 27, recorded Wednesday, the 2nd of September, 2015. I am Dale Campbell, and as I start up the broadcast, everything turns to crap, as it normally wants to do. That's right, thank you everyone for joining us here on GLS. We are starting a little bit behind the 8-ball, so therefore we're going to waste no time, and let's get on with the news. That was the wrong bumper. Yay.
On to the news.
That I am all misconjobulated. I am. I do apologize profusely. I am all over the place. But that's all right. Yeah, I mean, it's an all over the place kind of show. This GLS is. Apple is in the news. That's right, Apple. Being in the news, Apple Pay launched in the US in October of 2014, partnering with credit card companies like Visa, MasterCard, American Express, and a number of banks to allow iPhone users to store their credit card details on their smartphone in order to make quick payments at stores such as McDonald's, Subway, Mercy's, without even touching their plastic cards. The service came to the UK last month, despite hopes that Apple Pay would roll out in Australia. The major banks and Apple itself have stayed tight lid on Australia's launch date. Now, a new report by Apple suggests that it faces a major hurdle in its Australia roadmap to form negotiation over payment fees. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. Fairfax Media has reported negotiations with Australia's big banks have stalled amongst claims that Apple is seeking a larger share of interchange fees. The small amount that financial institutions earn on credit card and debit card transactions. Apple is understood to earn 15 cents per $100 for Apple Pay transactions in the US. Fairfax reports the company is looking to maintain its rate in Australia, despite Australia banks earning roughly only half than the typical US fee. How about, I have a better suggestion. How about it's not being all about the fees, because, you know, it's good to not have banks being all about the fees and actually being about the person, being about the bank, being about the customer themselves, and actually being driven by big banks and big business bonanza, extravaganza, extraordinary. But, you know, I don't know, it could be just that I live in a world where everything should be hickly-pickly and everyone should have everything and, you know, yeah, banks do need to get paid, but the focus should be on actually the item itself, because that's the thing you're buying, you're not buying transactional fees. But anyway, I digress. Spent way too much time on this first headline. In other Apple news, things are about to heat up in the digital content game because one of the world's largest and richest companies is about to throw its hat in the ring. The new word on Streaming Street, my apologies, is that Apple is exploring new ways to produce original content, though it is quite clear at the moment what kind of content just how Apple will distribute it to its user base. According to Variety, Apple has a meeting with Hollywood executives over a few weeks, posting the company for a leap into the original content sphere. Although Apple hasn't officially commented on the story, the exploration is that the company is looking to be competitive in the streaming sphere, like Amazon, Netflix, and Hulu. What does this mean? Apple TV will evolve? Right now, Apple VOD service runs through iTunes, where you can rent digital movies for a 24-hour period, or straight up purchase digital content a la carte. A la carte. For TV watchers, Apple has created the Season Pass, which will push pre-purchased episodes of your favorite television program to your Apple device the day after it airs on television. It is possible that original content is the first step for Apple setting up in the streaming service of its own, likely based on monthly subscriptions like Apple Music, its Spotify's competitor. That would require new deals for large swaths of Apple's currently licensed catalog, something the company would be working out behind closed doors right now. A streaming service to stay competitive in the digital market would benefit from eye-catching original content. For example, the Dre Beats One station of video, if you will. That's a little bit of editorializing there. But, you know, there could be music videos. I couldn't see why they wouldn't be able to do music videos on there. It would be something that would be feasible and, you know, something that, you know, that could potentially happen. I mean, I don't see why or how it wouldn't happen at all. Moving along from Apple, and we have some more streaming news coming up on the other side of the break. That'll make you go, what? However, Wikipedia is no longer Wikipedia is no longer going to hide themselves from scandals because they've done so well at that in the past. Wikipedia is no stranger to scandals, but a quiet update on its administrators announcement board revealing a big problem. Whoa. The site's Czech user team banned 381 editors' accounts for undisclosed paid advocacy. In other words, these Wikipedians are secretly shilling for brands and even resorting to extortion, yeah. That's just a funny phrase to say. Resorting to extortion. That is extortion, right? Yeah. Resorting to extortion. That's a weird thing to say. This game is relatively straightforward. Using sock puppet accounts, the fraudster editors would create complete yet unpublished articles about anything from Bitcoin casinos to rock bands. They then approach the subject of the article to offer to publish it for a fee. If the subject agreed, the page would go live and the Wikipedia editors would then offer the subject of the article an insurance policy of sorts. For about $30 a month, they would protect the article from vandalism and prevent its deletion. That's kind of like how you pay off the mafia so you don't get robbed. Suffice it to say, this is a new kind of setup that doesn't fly with the Wikipedia Foundation. Wikipedia opened an investigation into the matter, codename Orange Moody, after the first sock puppet account was discovered that ran from end of April to the end of August. Yeah, I mean, Wikipedia is just a slander. Like, it's just not a good place to be anyway. So I don't understand how this any kind of surprise to anyone. I mean, really, it's just, but protecting, yeah, I mean, again, it's not kind of surprising to see that this type of stuff is happening, but it's like, how long has this been, it's taken this long for something like this to happen, really? That's the kind of mentality that I have about it. Speaking of mentality, mentality. Let's see, where are we? We're in that page. Google, a leader in the efforts to create driverless cars, has ran into an odd safety conundrum. Here is a odd safety conundrum for you. An odd safety conundrum. Solving odd safe conundrums. Humans, yay! Last month, as one of Google's self-driving cars crossed a sidewalk, they did what it was supposed to do, and it allowed a pedestrian to cross, promoting its safety driver to allow to apply the brakes. The pedestrian was fined, not so much for Google's car when it was hit by a human-driven sedan. Mm-mm. Google's fleet of autonomous test cars programs to follow the let. I don't know what that's meant to mean. To follow the let or not to follow the let. But how do we solve this conundrum, this human driven sedan crashing into a Google car? How do we solve that? Oh wait, we don't. Oh, we can't solve your odd conundrums. We cannot solve your odd safety conundrums. Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, I mean, we're always going to have humans, so what's the big deal? I don't understand. So, you know, I mean, people are dumb. I mean, we have plenty of evidence of that in the real world. We don't need any more of that evidence in the internet world as well. Finally, two guys from Sacramento have started a real-life gangster flick about the world's dumbest criminals. Damon Baston and Carlos Gonzalez were arrested after the live-streaming app Periscope to broadcast a burgled home invasion. The two wannabe gangsters started a broadcast on social media app and say that they were going to ride over and see what they could do. Where were they headed exactly? To a house of a gentleman who had been sleeping with one of their girlfriends. So, of course, because that's how thug life works. Hashtag thug life. The broadcast started to gain popularity as the duo allegedly detailed vague plans to hurt the man. During the stream, Gonzalez could have been brandishing a handgun as he told viewers he wouldn't be able to show them everything, alluding to potential violence that was about to incur. When they arrived at the apartment, the pair was shown knocking at the door as they tried to lure the victim outside. Stop being a scaredy. Open the door. Tell that beep, 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 beep to come out. Wait, what explicit work starts with W? They could have heard saying, but what, hang on, what? I have a really, really important question. What curse word starts with W? This article has blanked out a curse word that starts with W. What curse word starts with W? I can't think of any. Yeah, that's really, really disturbing. That's really, yeah, huh. Anyway, I'm done pondering that one. And that is the headline. Okay, everyone, we're back. Apologies, we did a little bit of a mic outage. I do apologize for that. I'm going to have to do a lot of editing in the post show. I'm not really happy about this. But that concludes the headlines. We have an update for you. Beep, 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 beep. We'll give you this update and we'll tell you what two stories are coming up in our mid-break, and then we're going to go, then we're going to jump into the break. It's a little early for a break, but we're going to jump straight into that break so we can rip on these two stories in general. This is just in regards to the Cafe Siege. Assistant Police Commissioner Mark Jennings to defend Norris bail appeal decision. As the Assistant Commissioner of New South Wales Police Force questioned over his decision not to ask state prosecutors to appeal the Supreme Court when Manharan Norris was granted a bail after a year before the Sydney search. Quote, if I had the foresight to see what had happened 12 months later, I would have walked the letter down there and stood outside the office, Assistant Commissioner Mark Jennings told an ongoing inquest into the search on Wednesday, which is today. The inquest was heard that police investigating Norris over an auxiliary murder charge were furious when he was granted bail in December 23rd at a Penrith local court. And after the bail decision, Senior Detective Jackson Dixon told the head of the suicide squad about the apparent failure and his decide for a bail decision to be renewed in the New South Wales court. Someone done screwed up, didn't they? Yes. This guy, and who was this guy? Norris. Yeah, you kind of done screwed up there. You granted someone bail just before they escaped from prison and committed this horrible crime, the Lindt Cafe Siege. You have no sympathy from me, because I understand that people slip through the system, and I get that, but I mean, people shouldn't screw up this much on something that is this important. And something like a murder trial shouldn't be taken this lightly. I emphasize that. He was on trial under the umbrella of murder. Apologies, I'm going to turn my phone on silent because it's ringing. On murder. And that's just taken as, we granted him bail after a year. Yeah, someone better lose their job after this, because if they don't, then there is going to be serious grass to be had. I mean, if he was in jail, this event wouldn't have happened. If people aren't familiar with what I'm talking about, and I just realized this, the Sydney Siege was an event that happened. We reported about it on this show, this very show, the day after it happened. Yeah, the day after it happened, it was covering the Sydney Siege here on GLS was one of the two most historic moments in my in-bar broadcasting history. Some horror stories from people. We covered on a previous show the Boston bombings for the Boston Marathons. That was the day of, just mere hours after the event. We covered it in detail here on the Chef Wonder Network. And it's just, these traumatic events have a cause and they have an effect. And I believe we've just found out who was the cause in this case. And I mean, I'm not talking about the motivation, I'm not talking about anything else. I'm talking about pure cause. What caused this person to potentially commit the crime? And he was in prison and was granted bail after a year. But the Sydney Surge, by the way, getting back to that, the Sydney Surge was an event that happened when one person held the whole, it was a Lindt chocolate cafe in Sydney, held them all hostage and basically didn't let them out. He started releasing people after 13 hours? I want to say 13 hours. I'm a bit foggy on the details now. But after a long period of time, two people were killed in the incident. This Nan-Man Hand dude killed two innocent people, in the shooting of this thing. He deserves to die. I mean, really. He's a horrible human being. But he committed this crime and he just doesn't deserve anything else. And having the commissioners and High Court grant him bail after a year of being on another murder charge is just wrong, which means we need reform in this country. And now that I've made this show all political before 10:30, I think it's time, you know, we move on. But anyway, I just wanted to provide that update because we do look for key updates on stories that we do cover on this show. I make the joke about it all the time that we have all the car security stories in the headlines, but yeah, that is something that we do kind of keep an eye on, is what happens in, you know, security and that sort of thing as well. But as we continue here on GLS for a Wednesday, episode number 27, despite all the technical difficulties, we're going to be onwards and upwards. You might find that the show is actually a shorter podcast version after I edit it all down. But the live broadcast, they still have to listen through an hour of me cussing at the computer screen, so that's fun. Have fun with that. As we continue here on GLS, we have two news articles to rant about. They're totally two different stories, actually, but all relating to online. We're going online real fast. It is official. Australia is set to charge GST on all online purchases from 2017. Not 2016, 2017. So the next financial year. The financial year after that. So not in the next financial year, the next two financial years, this will come into place. And the Netflix for Pirates is in Hollywood sites. As we continue here on GLS, here on a Wednesday, this video started auto-playing. So, you know what, that's just dandy. Please, please do not do that. That'd be great. As we continue, it's 10:39.
Hey Hey, CJ Boat here from Small Screen Spoiler Show and the Geek.io Show, here to tell you about my brand new album, The Chronicles of Athalor, The Heart of the Deimos. Do you like post-apocalyptic fantasy novels? Then this is something for you. In this world, I spin a tale of fantastic creatures, vengeful gods, and even a cyborg dragon. Chronicles of Athalor, The Heart of the Deimos tells an engrossing story set in a rich and fleshed-out universe, and it deserves a place on your reading list. Head on over to geek-io.net/Athalor and pre-order the novel now for just $4.99. That is geek-io.net/athalor.
Hey you! Yes you, fine listener of this program. You can help us become more than what we already are. I know, it's a revolution. Hold on to your butts, because I'm about to give you a URL address that could change our lives. Not really, but it would help us out tremendously if you went over to geek-io.net/support, so we could do a lot more than what we're actually doing now. That website actually has a lot of links on it where you can help us out monthly through Patreon at our Patreon site at patreon.com/geek-io. Or you can help us out once off by supporting those who support us. But then you can become the ones who support us, who support you, who support us. It's supportception. To continue this supportception, it's in your hands. Go to geek-io.net/support to keep this ever-long cycle of support up. Thank you.
ProXPN. ProXPN is a super secure VPN that believes you should be able to use the internet how you want to. By encrypting all traffic that goes through it, it keeps all of your data private. Your IP is completely hidden, so your location is secure and appears wherever you want it to. Keeps you safe from all of those silly cable six strike rules and more. Keep your traffic safe. Go to proxpn.com and use Geek20 for 20% off of their already really low prices starting at $6.25 a month. We want to thank ProXPN for your support of the Geek.io network.
Want a custom computer? Want to run the latest games at the highest graphics with no lag? Want to build a computer that can make and edit movies or videos like them there professionals? Pugent Systems has your solution. Go to geek-io.net/pugent to build a brand new custom computer. We'd like to thank Pugent Systems for their support of the Geek.io Network.
This is JD. You know me from How It Stacks and other popular things that haven't quite caught on yet. But something that has caught on, that would be Think Geek. And everybody loves Think Geek because you can get Han Solo ice cubes, Daleks, sonic screwdrivers. Hell, I'm drinking a screwdriver now. But only because, you know, I love Think Geek. And you can get all of those things except for, you know, a screwdriver at geek-io.net/thinkgeek. And once again, I'm JD from How It Stacks and other things.
This is The Generic Live Show with Dale Campbell.
That's right, folks. Everything we know is wrong. That's right. So glad you could be with us on GLUT. And you know it's why it's wrong. You know, everything we've known up until this point, it is completely wrong. Because there is such a thing here in this country as the goods and services tax, which is a 10% tax on everything that we do. Everything we do in this country is restricted by a 10% tax. We've just come to love the fact that it is a way of life, and that there is nowhere in our life in this country that we'll be able to avoid goods and services tax, because online is still a service, I guess. So glad you could be with us here on a Wednesday. It is GLS. It is episode number 27. These two facts have not changed. I'm still Dale Campbell. It is 10:37 p.m. 10:36. I'm getting ahead of myself. 10:36 p.m. And so glad you could be with us here on a Wednesday. Goods and services tax, like I alluded to a little bit a second ago, it's now 10:37. Australia is set to put goods and services tax on to everything for online vendors who have goods and services on them, which is kind of redundant because everything that's online has a good or service attached to it, by July 1, from July 1, 2017. I'd like to remind you, in the financial year of 2015-2016 and 2016 to 2017, and to tax year of 2017-2018 is when this will actually take into account. I've been looking forward to talking about this story all week. That's right. Federal Treasurer Joe Hockey announced the move in a televised press conference on Friday afternoon. Hockey stated that the state and federal treasuries have reached an accord in decision in meetings in Canberra. Currently, GST only applies to purchases above $1,000. The Australian federal government first noted the charges in April this year. Unanimously dubbed Netflix tax. I just got pinked. I dinked my little dongle. Okay. The measure will ensure the introduction of GST on intangible products such as content streaming services, as well as ebook services, app downloaders, purchases of songs, TV episodes, games, and movies through services like Google Play Store. The low value threshold saw overseas purchases over $1,000 avoiding GST had long the ire of bricks and mortar retailers and Australian based online stores. Quote, this will deliver competitive neutrality for Australian businesses. There is fair and equal treatment of all goods and services, Hockey said. The tax changes have been expected to start expected to start at an earlier day, with modelling from the Australian federal government in May suggesting that changes would net $350 million in revenue over 4 years. You know, okay, I'm going to get passionate here for a second. Dale's Passionate Corner. You know what? Can I set a time? Do I have something in here for one? No, I don't have anything in here for 1 minute. I don't. I want to play something that will play for only 1 minute. Damn, I can't. I have Valerie. I don't know what that is. Whoa, what started playing? I have no idea what's happening. Okay. That was Australia. That's Valentine. Never mind. I just started playing my sense music. Whoops! Oh, well. No, I have nothing. Okay, Dale Passionate Corner. Here we go. So, we have it so tough here in Australia because we already have, and it'll be on both. It'll be on both intangible services, even though it's being euphemized as online services only. But realistically, we all know that's a euphemism for everything will be taxed. It'll be interesting to see if the right-wing party of this country decides to counteract that by saying, no, well, we'll do a smarter approach to all of this, or they're going to do pretty much the same as what this government is deciding to do. Irregardless, what I'm going to say is we have a tough time as it is here in this country with overseas companies particularly jacking up the price of things just for the sake of it. Anyway, why? Because we are Australian. Against Australians, there has been this kind of discriminatory behavior. Wow, that took me a while. I had to pause for a second to kind of get my breath back. Discriminatory action against Australians because we're so far away from everything. It's just kind of one of those things. Just kind of happens. But anyway, because they have to counteract for shipping costs and just regular taxes and that sort of thing. And our products are just priced more expensive. Because realistically, and I'm going to get all markety up on your grill. It's just because if, you know, we are seen as more of a premium market than, say, the United States, for example. And not to say stuff about the United States. What I'm saying is Australians don't mind being targeted in that upper range. We kind of see ourselves in that upper range already. Not to say that that lower range is any bad or any better. But, you know, like, it's just... It's one of these natural things. So, what? I'm confused. I don't know what's going on. What's going on? Anyway, I will sort that out later. But, you know, you know what? Like, it's for some odd reason. I feel like it gets on my goat a little bit when they have to... We're already being discriminated against for having high prices. Why do we have to... Why do we have to kind of... be this... Why do we have to... be discriminated against more for choosing online options if we want them? You know what I mean? Like, it's just... I feel like it kind of... It defeats the purpose of... You know... Going an online route. Otherwise, I would have just gone... You know... the route of, you know, the brick-and-mortar store, other than anything else. Otherwise, I would have chosen the brick-and-mortar store if I didn't want two lots of taxes put on, put on the, on the, on the products. I'm getting really distracted by Google Hangouts. I'm going to close that. So, anyway, so there's that. Next up, Netflix for Pirates. So here we go. So what's this about? Popcorn Time. Popcorn Time is a software dubbed as Netflix for Pirates. So, I think... And it's Hollywood's worst nightmare. And it now cites... of movie studios continue to gain traction amongst those who find it simple, one-click user interface, hard to resist. Torrent Freak, a blog that tracks copyright and privacy, she's sharing news, recently reported that IP addresses of some 75,000 Popcorn Time users are in Norway are being tracked by the Norwegian Division of Anti-Privacy Groups Right Alliances as having used the service. So there you go. With anti-privacy group is everybody's guess. But Chief William Joson has hinted strongly that plans uses a surprise in the mail in the form of a letter sometimes in the next 3 months. Elsewhere, the makers of Adam Sandler's movie The Cobbler, Cobbler, Nevada, have filed a lawsuit in the US directed at 11 users of a software who are yet to be identified. The filmmakers want US ISP Comcast to unveil the identities of the users whose IP addresses they have used Popcorn Time. Survivor Productions, who are behind the film Survivor, starring Pierce Brosnan, are also targeting 16 Comcast users in a separate case who allegedly used Popcorn Time to watch the film. Excuse me. Meanwhile, in Australia, no action has been taken. However, in Australia, the most recent case involving Biosize Clubs, iNet, and a bunch of ISP George saw the judge overseeing it stop this form from coming. So, Popcorn Time launched last year, but it quickly shut down due to legal issues arose, and it resurfaced after BitTorrent site YTS dug it up from the grave. This service offers a Netflix style that streams pirated movies from the latest release to classics, without having to wait for a download to complete using a traditional BitTorrent client such as uTorrent. So, yeah, Popcorn Time is, it's scary stuff. I mean, the pirating world have identified this streaming service that is identified the fact that, it's a threat to them, and they have also used it to kind of identify who the IP addresses using these services are so they can target them. Particularly, it's both good and bad for the Hollywood studios. It's good because this service type service is good because they're watching their films. It's bad because the studios aren't making any money and they're spending all their time and resources. You know, instead of making other films, they're using it in terms of, you know, hunting down resources to kind of, you know, track down people, particular people who pirating their movie, which, by the way, is probably more not rare than rare. But what I will say for Popcorn Time is that 75,000 popcorn users in Norway have been tracked. 70,000. That's a lot of people. 70,000 people. It's just too much. To kind of comprehend in my head. So, yeah, there are 75,000 people who are using Popcorn Time in their kind of realms sort of thing. And are they being targeted or are they being left alone? I kind of can't really wrap my head around it, to be honest. And that's what we have this week. We don't really have much this week. It has been a little bit of a slower news week. But I like these shorter shows. I still have the full former shows. So, and it is going to be quite a smaller show because we don't really have much news this week. It has been really, really slow news week, but I thought I'd still do a show regardless. You can find us at chefwondermedia.net, geek-io.net/GLS, at both, GLS at both, gplus.ts/genericliveshow, youtube.com/genericliveshow, patreon.com/geek-io, Savannah Singh for the artwork, iTunes, and all the other podcasting apps as well. You can find us there if you so desire. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. We'll see you all next week. It's 10:53.
Listening to a program of the Chef Wonder Media Network. For this and other shows, visit chefwondermedia.net.
This has been a Geek.io production.
Copyright 2015.
Geek.io.
Geek.
Geek. Geek.